Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Politico is reporting today that lawmakers remain far apart over the commodity title of the pending farm bill. House Agriculture Committee ranking member Colin Peterson called the situation, quote, a quagmire, and proof that the negotiations should have started months ago, according to the Politico report. The difference is over how much money should be devoted to the agricultural risk coverage or shallow loss program in the Senate passed bill that the corn and soybean industry likes, and how much money should go to price loss coverage in the House Agriculture Committee passed version of the bill, which is preferred by growers of rice and peanuts and wheat and corn. The commodity title appears to be the concern at the moment, but the issue of a cut to the food stamp program, which makes up more than 70% of the budget, remains as well. The Obama administration has opposed such a cut, but Republicans have been insistent that the program, which now has more than 47 million beneficiaries, should be trimmed by making eligibility requirements tougher. China and South Africa have now banned imports of beef from Brazil after the confirmation of a case of mad cow disease in the country. Brazil's Ministry of Agriculture says that tests on a 13-year-old cow that died in the Brazilian state of Paraná in 2010 showed it carried the causing agent of mad cow disease. The decision follows a move by Japan, which earlier this week became the first country to ban Brazilian beef imports. Russia, by the way, is the largest buyer of Brazilian beef. Government weather experts say 2012 is virtually certain to go into the record books as the warmest year on records dating back to 1895. The January-November period in the U.S. was the warmest ever for the first 11 months at an average of 57.1 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 3.3 degrees above the 20th century average and 1 degree higher than the previous record set in 1934. Temperatures this month would need to top the coldest ever December by more than 1 degree for 2012 in order to not break the record. At the request of a federal mediator, Pacific Northwest Grain Terminal Companies and the Longshore Union have talked twice this week in an effort to negotiate a contract. Both parties say they need more time now to review their options. The contract with the International Longshore and Warehouse Union expired on September 30th. The United Nations Food Bodies said Friday that it has agreed to a strategic partnership with the African, Caribbean, and Pacific groups of states to fight hunger and malnutrition. Areas for collaboration under the agreement include promoting food security and fishery production, as well as food crisis, early warning systems, detection and prevention of diseases, and disaster risk management systems. Agricultural analyst Aaron Curtis of Midco in Heaves and Bloomington Normal says WILL agricultural marketing information is well received across the Corn Belt.
Well, I've never heard anything but positive comments, Dave. I think, in this environment we're in now, especially with the volatility in the markets, I think it's always nice to have a place to go to be able to sort out some of the things that are affecting the market. And anymore, Dave, it's just harder and harder to find that knowledgeable source of information. And I think that's where you guys continue to be a shining light. I mean, continue to offer timely information, information that's important to what the producers are doing on a daily basis. And I think, like I said, it's harder and harder to find that information. And I think you continue to be a valuable source for some important stuff in a very volatile time.
Les Schulte is alongside, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to hear from Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and I'm sure he will have some very interesting things to say about this marketplace, given what we have seen this week. Information that's very helpful to people who are making their marketing decisions.
Well, and that's what we really strive for. That's our goal here, is to give you the information that you need. And supporters of agriculture have helped build this service to what it is today. This partnership between us is the reason that we're able to offer things like Outlook meetings to discuss those long-term marketing strategies, those weekly WILLAG.org e-newsletters with marketing information, including the technicals, a phone service with daily analysis on your cell phone. You can just pick up the phone and call that number. An on-demand podcast, downloadable MP3 files of market analysis when you're away from the radio. We have the smartphone apps now with the m.will.ag.org that you can just pull it down on your smartphone. We have the partnership between the College of ACES at the U of I, bringing you Todd Gleason and the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner and Ed Kieser.
We do all that?
We do all of that. It's a surprise. Kind of wears you out when you think about it. But in all seriousness, it's all made possible because our listeners have told us this is the kind of information they need and the kind of information they need to support here on this public radio station. And that's why we come to you a few times a year and ask for your support directly. And that's what we're doing here now as we come to the end of the calendar year 2012. Call 217-244-9455. Go online to willpledge.org. You decide the value of this service and then make a contribution to WILL right now.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's look at the composite numbers in Kansas City. March wheat, 864.5, up 1.75. In Chicago, December wheat's 801, up 8. December corn, 716.5, up 4.25. Go out to December 13, 628.5, up 2.5. January beans, 1495.25, up 18.75. November 13, 1315.75, up 6. December soybean meal, 465.40, up 490. December soybean oil, 49.24, up 62. December live cattle, 126.12.5, down 7.5. January feeders, 152.45, down 67.5. On the phone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, NOPA added a little spark to the marketplace this morning, didn't they?
Very nice number, second highest, it looks like, for a November crush number of 157.3, right on the estimates, and that's the best number right underneath November of 2009, when beans were trading 1150. So these numbers today, I think, support the idea that the USDA report had that we're not rationing enough, that we do indeed have stronger crush, and USDA hasn't even touched the export numbers yet heading into the January report. As a result, we're within a nickel of last Friday's high, Dave, and that's the highest level we've been in about a month, with the spreads very, very strong. So that's kind of a target in my mind, is to, you know, get back above that 15 handle and take out last Friday's high and set us up for a new monthly high so that we can go home for the weekend and really digest what the charts look like.
It seems to me that if you could take that out, you might begin to talk around 1545.
Well, and the model, the price model I've been running since November would suggest exactly that, that if you go down to a 130 carryover like USDA did, then the matrix would say you're heading towards the 1550 to 1575 level from a standpoint of where lead month futures probably needs to be to continue to try and tap the demand down a little bit. But, you know, as we get down into the 125 and 120 carryover levels, if the market starts talking about that and we start to see the wheat and the corn come around and stop pressuring the beans, then you start talking about getting after some of those old highs of that 1675 to 1725 level. So we're getting into this price level now that if we can go higher in a trending fashion and have the other grain complexes on our side, this is probably one of the better opportunities for beans to really kick it into gear. As we talked about Wednesday, we are under a pretty friendly cash seasonal for both soybeans and meal, and that's another nice added benefit. We don't want to really lose that potential either.
You mentioned the other two commodities, wheat and corn, kicking it into gear to support soybeans. You look at this corn market, three times now we've tested that 715 level. I'm looking, I believe, at the March composite monthly at the moment, and it just seems to me that 715 is a pretty good support.
It better hold. I think that's what everybody in the chart world and the technical world would say, because we do have that gap with December futures going off the board today. We have that gap right above 675 in the D's corn chart. March has a gap as well, down about the same amount, mm-hmm. in terms of another 30 cents, 35 cents lower. So I think this is an extremely important time period for the corn and wheat to hold. I think the fundamentals are there this morning. I think we had the Argentine news late yesterday with a lower wheat production number. That has been followed up with International Grains Council data suggesting that the ending stocks for world wheat's 172. They actually took their number down a million metric tons. So I think if you take a step back from the USDA report on the wheat and you refocus your attention on the corn, you actually got a pretty friendly report on the corn. We just haven't touched that report because of what the wheat's done to us. And so that's kind of the setup in the market as we approach the weekend and this expiration of the D's contract. Obviously, that 200-day moving average in the wheat probably means a heck of a lot to technicians as well, and probably ties in through the wheat corn spread whether that 715 March futures is going to hold.
The one caveat I think about the corn, if you believe that you need the export market to pick up in order for corn not to fall out of bed, is that you continue to see purchases. You saw South Korea make a huge couple of huge purchases, a total of over 300 million metric tons of corn this week, but they're sourcing it as option oriented, and it's for delivery later in the season. It's not delivery for January, February. It's delivery from May and June period, and they want it maybe from South America.
No, and I think that's really, really important, an important point. It puts even more burden on the wheat so that it doesn't become a feed competitor via that wheat corn spread. Simply put, the weekly ethanol data did not do us any favors after the USDA report came out, because we saw the production of 824,000 barrels a day compared to 835 last week. Last year at this time, we were moving 938,000 a day. We're down 14% on production when you look at it from that standpoint, and the inventories snuck back above 20 million barrels. That's the highest since the end of June. So not only do you have your export issue that you talk about, but you also have the domestic issue. There's no question that corn has been disappointing to me from a standpoint of not seeing a return to demand by the time we get to the Christmas holiday. I was expecting it 2 to 3 weeks ago, and it has not come around. But more pressing than that is probably the wheat market in the short term.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Alongside is Les Schulte. We're coming down. I mean, it's almost only a three-day drive.
Yeah.
And I blinked my eyes, and we're more than halfway through.
We are, and we are more than halfway to our goal, which is great. This is a 36-hour, $36,000 goal to push us towards that halfway mark by the end of December in our fundraising. And we just need to keep on track, and we're doing well. Thanks to the people who have already made contributions to this station and those pledges. And that's great, and we thank each and every one of you. But if you have not yet this year, take the opportunity right now, especially to support a service like our Ag Service, and call this number, 217-244-9455, or go online to willpledge.org. We need to raise about $16,000 yet to meet this $36,000 goal.
And remember, there's a little bit of a tax advantage for producers, too, because they can take advantage of that before the end of the year, and that will help their taxes going forward. So 217-244-9455 is the number to call. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.